From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable, talking the lines, man, offensive line, defensive line. Heading into summer, because summer is a couple of days away, we're going to get into a lot of these two-a-day episodes every other week, as you already know, this off-season format. We're going to tackle two areas of the team and get into that right up into the preseason. And hopefully there will be a regular season for that's a story for another day. We might even have that conversation or dialogue at some point, maybe later on this summer as we get close to the regular season. But today, this is going to be more about the lines, the offensive line, defensive lines, our strengths, our weaknesses, how we compare within our own division, and especially stakeholder notes, and we'll get to all that. Before we can jump into that, next week, for all the other shows, all the other platforms, we're going to have the baseball back on Monday. We're going to have the hockey. We're going to have a lot of fun with the hockey on Tuesday with RP, and Wednesday with the hoops, with the NBA. So we're going to look at all the areas of all the leagues this upcoming week on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the information will be updated on our website, bleedblueshow.com. But today is about the football and the offensive line, defensive line, before a football team. Oh, yeah, there's another thing. Let me say this on as well. Because on the Bleed Blue Show page, we're going to tackle division by division on the Bleed Blue Show page this summer. Breaking down division by division on the Bleed Blue Show page outside of the podcast. So that is something we're looking forward to. That's going to be something we'll compare notes as far as getting around the league-wide with the NFL. But as far as today, man, is the offensive line, defensive line, where do we stand? This is going to be a lot of carryover from the office, you know, when we had the Jason Garrett episode and we had the Patrick Graham episode within the last 2 to 4 weeks. So there's going to be a lot of carryover on that, but probably more so personnel than, of course, than the coaches. But let's get into it, man. Let's get into it, because as the stakeholders file in, we'll get everybody on and have a voice and have an opinion on. Let's try to get this done, let's say, about an hour, a little over an hour. Brian, Big Blue Huddle, BigBlueHuddleGiantsFans.net, man. It's been a long time, bro. Hope all is well. How's everything? How's everything going? How you've been holding up? Look forward to talking some sports with you, man. How's everything, Bri?
Everything's been good, Steve. How about with yourself?
Yes, sir, man. I'm good, man. Just trying to get through these times, man, as far as the sports, and just try to get through as far as talking sports, talking to our football team, man. And I look forward to your analysis, because the Big Blue Huddle, Ed, Brian, you guys always bring the fire. You guys have fantastic episodes, fantastic content, and, of course, the Immaculate Giants board you guys do, man. I look forward to talking with you guys on this episode, man.
What? Thanks, Steve. Yeah, I love coming on your show, man. It gives an entirely different perspective. So I always have fun. So I'm looking forward to that tonight also.
Sounds good, man. We'll lead off with you. Let's go to the birthday boy. Now, the birthday was earlier this week, but Brian, I mean, this guy's birthday should be a national holiday. He is the eighth wonder of the tailgate world. He is the a frontliner extraordinaire. He's probably a future Giants fan Hall of Famer. It's not a Hall of Fame trajectory. It's probably almost there in the next 5 to 10 seasons. But this is the definition of Live Big Blue of Arizona. What's up, homie?
Hey, Steve, my guy. Hey, thank you for the birthday wishes. Kindly appreciate it. Yes, I'm either going to be a Hall of Famer or I probably possibly will be getting arrested as well. It's one or the other.
Definition of Lit. Shout out to Lit, man. We're going to get to you, man. We're going to lead off with Bri. I know other people are going to follow in when we get to that. Shout out to Lit. Bri, let's lead off with you, man. Let's start with the offensive line first. We'll go offensive line. We talked about this on the Jason Garrett episode a little bit last 2 weeks ago. We had about as far as Mark Colombo. There was a lot of Mark Colombo comparisons as far as where we stand for offensive line. Now, if you ask me, Brian, we're going to get the Jason after that. We'll get the definition of lit after that. I believe our offensive line, you know, it may be crazy to say this, Brian. Giant fans probably are not going to believe I'm going to say this, or even the fan rivals. We, on paper, I'm looking at this right now, on paper, Brian, I think the Giants offensive line-wise is probably second in the division, man. I would say I'm gonna tell you why, and I'm gonna let you fire away, Brian. We'll go top level because if you look at what we have as far as Solder, Hernandez, Zeitler, Andrew Thomas, Spencer Pulley, whatever. If you look at the division, I think the Cowboys have the best. I think they have the best offensive line. I think, you know, with Connor Williams, Joe Looney. Okay, of course the Pro Bowl is Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. But although they're getting older in age, and Lyle Collins is pretty much coming into his own, they're probably the number one. Line. I would have said the Eagles was number two, Brian, but here's the thing. They had a little bit of a setback earlier this week. I don't think a lot of fans picked up on that. If you go back, their Pro Bowler, Brian Brooks, had a rupture his Achilles, Monday? He's out for the season. So this is pretty much new in Eagles land. They don't have that right guard right now. They don't have that Pro Bowl right guard that they're used to. He just had the big contract. They got Andre Dillard to replace Jason Peters. So that's kind of up in question. Jason Kelsey's still a staple, but he's getting a little older in age. But Eagles might have to take a step back, honestly. And then if you look at the Redskins situation, it's all over the place on their offensive line situation. I just think when you lose a Trent Williams, well, Trent Williams wasn't even there last year. But if you look at Trent Williams not being there, he was, like I said, he wasn't there last year. And if you look at the fact that Brandon Scherff is probably your most, I guess you could say, talented guy on the line. A lot of guys, or Morgan Moses is a decent pro, but they're right side heavy. But anything from center to left is kind of piecemeal, honestly. But Brian, let's go with you, man. What's your thoughts on our offensive line? And if you want to compare our offensive line within the division, feel free to do so. Strengths and weaknesses, who you like, who you dislike going into this season. And then we'll go back to lit, and then I'll sign. We'll get into more into this conversation.
Well, first of all, you're talking about the Eagles. I didn't hear that about Brandon Brooks. So that's a huge loss for them. Huge loss. He's probably, well, Lane Johnson's a really good player, and Kelsey is also, but Siamalo is in. And Jason Peters is a future Hall of Fame, and, you know, I don't know about Andre Dillard being able to step in or not. Book's still out on that, and I believe Hale Vitae signed somebody else. So, that, you know, they lost their swing tackle in the whole thing. And I agree with you also on Washington. That, you know, Washington, you know, the right side of our line is good, but once you get over and you say, you know, Trent Williams wasn't there last year, but their line wasn't good last year either, you know, so, you know, for the most part. So yeah, I wouldn't disagree that the Giants might have the second best offensive line in the league. Now, remember the Cowboys last year, Travis Frederick is no more, so they're going to have to go with Joe Looney. And they drafted that kid Biadat, so I can never pronounce his name properly. But so they got a few question marks there. But you got to give them the top shelf at the moment, anyways. But the good, the bad, and the ugly with the Giants, I thought they had a great offensive draft as far as the offensive line goes. You know, Andrew Thomas, he was the guy that I wanted. And he was the guy that they took. And the thing with Andrew Thomas is he's a left tackle. And the other top tackles weren't left tackles. So they clearly wanted a left tackle. I think he's going to start from the get-go over on that side. Now, I could be wrong. But I think that they'll probably move Solder over and, you know, start Thomas on the side there. And, you know, eventually Matt Piart is, you know, really good developmental prospect, and Cam Fleming is a good swing guy. So he's a good player. And then I think both of their tackles, Will Hernandez, I thought was poorly coached. I'll get to that in a minute. But I think he's a good player. And Kevin Zeitler, you know, played very well last year. You know, big question is, you know, whether they're going to do it center. They could have drafted one and they didn't. So I think they feel they already have that center on the team. And I don't think his name is Spencer Pulley. You know, they're either looking at Nick Gates or possibly Shane Lemieux, the rookie. that they drafted is starting at center. We'll have to see what happens here. But the biggest thing is the addition of Mark Colombo is the offensive line coach, but also Ben Wilkinson is the assistant. You know, he's a very quality assistant. Yeah, they know offensive lines, as does Jason Garrett. And this is Garrett's offense. You know, so expect to see a lot of Cowboy stuff. They know offensive linemen. They draft high, but the ones they drafted high turn out good. They don't end up flushing out of the league like so many of the Giants' high offensive line picks have, or at least they haven't performed well. So I'm very high on the coaching ability, and I was very low on the people who were there before. My guys, their previous head coach was a center, and he couldn't even tell a good center from a lousy one. So I think the improvement in the coaching staff and the improvement with the overall quality, especially the youth thereof, and the Giants could have a very good offensive line for quite a long time.
All right. Shout outs to Brian, Big Blue Huddle, man. The Big Blue Huddle's in the building. Let's go to the birthday boy, the future Hall of Famer, definition of lit, man. What's your thoughts on the Giants offensive line and where does that stack within the rest of the division or even in the league? Definition of lit, and then we'll go to the next stakeholder.
So I was listening to what Brian had to say, and I kind of want to – I definitely want to be on the same page. I do want to say that we probably have the second best unproven offensive line in the division. I say unproven – is that we have had for the past 2 years under the general manager kind of a revolving door of people coming in, people coming out, betting on, let's just say, a Nate Solder, betting on a John Jalapio, letting a Fluker go, letting a Jamon Brown go, kind of fixing it, putting Band-Aids on a lot of stuff. Now, we did draft offensive line heavy. I'm really hoping Shane Lemieux becomes our future center. I did buy his jersey number 66. But the reality is we have unproven talent. We have question marks with Nate Solder. What is he here for? Is he going to be a mentor? Is he going to actually show up to play? This is going to be his last year. So We're ready to move on with Andrew Thomas. We've got Matt Pert, who Brian said is a developmental guy. He's kind of like a D-leaguer right now. Maybe by the end of this year or next year, he will be in the starting lineup. We mentioned Kevin Zeitler had a good year. I will say Kevin Zeitler had a good year, but not a Pro Bowl caliber year. When we traded for him, I thought we were getting – going to have a repeat of a Pro Bowler. He did have good numbers, but it wasn't at Pro Bowl level numbers, which he had in Cleveland. I do believe that he will eventually probably be gone after this year as well. So what they have done, they've done some good things, but I just want to say that we probably have the second best unproven offensive line in the division because we have a lot of question marks. We have positivity, but we also have a lot of question marks as well too with what we're going to bring out and what is going to be the future.
All right, now Lit, do you have a question for Brian or before we go on?
Hey Brian, pleasure to chat with you. My question to you is, it's a David Gettleman offensive line question. When David Gettleman arrived on scene, he did say that his first priority was addressing the offensive line. Fast forward now, David Gettleman said on record, I'm fixing the offensive line once and for all. Do you kind of feel that his hands were tied or he did the best that he could year one when he said he was going to fix the offensive line as soon as he arrived on scene, not 3 years later?
Well, I think that there was an awful lot that needed fixing it right across on the team. There was a big dearth of talent there. I thought they probably could have done better than they have. Now, Solder was a big-name signing. It hasn't quite worked out. But he was a big-name signing. He wasn't a Band-Aid. But most of the other guys were. They were a one-year flyers, and it really didn't, you know, upgrade the team well. And because it looks like Solder was, you know, not money well spent, they finally went. I actually took PFF statistics, and I broke it down for left tackles who played 12 games and took 750 snaps. So that's about 75% of offensive snaps on an average. Using their ratings, there were I think 26. I don't know the numbers up front. There were 26 tackles that had, you know, fit into that criteria, and by their rating system, he was I think 24th in pass blocking and 21st in run blocking and 22nd overall. And for the money he's getting, it just wasn't it. They needed a left tackle for the future, and so they went and got Andrew Thomas. I believe that's why they went with him, because he is the right tackle. So answering your question, I think that he tried to do some things. He brought in Zeitler. Zeitler's a good player. And yeah, his numbers weren't real high last year, but you know, who was playing next to him on either side right there? You know, and so I think he's a good player. They did draft Hernandez. But this year he went all in. Pierre, I agree with you. I think by next year he starts. He's a very talented kid. He's just got to, you know, get a little bit more seasoning against, you know, better talent. So and you know, Shane Lemieux, I mean, his offensive line coach in college, you know, just raved about him. You know, just, you know, being a tough guy and, you know, versatile. So we'll see what happens. But I think he would. You're right. He went all in the draft on the thing, and hopefully that's going to work out, and I think that it's going to.
All right. You got anything else you want to go before we go to the next stakeholder?
Steve, let's just fire away to the next stakeholder, man. Thank you.
Shout-outs to Definition of Lit, the birthday boy. Shout-out to Lit. Let's go to
And happy birthday.
Okay. Hey, happy birthday. I think this is Carl, man. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Carl, is this you, Big Blue Chicago?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys? I missed the first 10 minutes of the show, but I hope everything's been going good with everybody.
Good evening, bro. How you doing?
Good evening, guys, friend.
You know, things are going okay. Things are starting to calm down a little bit better over here this way. Here up in Michigan, we're getting better. I see some of the other places not so much. So, you know, just cross my fingers, hoping everybody can be okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let's get. I mean, we haven't really got too far because Brian already led off with his thoughts on the offensive line. Lit gave his thoughts on the offensive line. I'm probably going to follow you after you. The question pretty much right now, because it's the offensive line, defensive line combination episode, started with the offensive line, man. Where do you see the Giants as an offensive line unit? I know this is kind of a lot of carryover from the Jason Garrett episode we were on a few weeks back, but
yeah.
Also, where does the offensive line, this is probably more personnel than coaching, or it can be a little more of a double down on it. Where do you see the offensive line compared to other offensive lines within our own division and then the league? Anything else you would like to say as far as that? Let's see, Lynn had a question. He had a question for Brian, which was about, David Gettleman,
what the team was looking for the first year, something along those lines.
Yeah. Right. Fire away. Go ahead. You good?
Okay. So, you know, the last couple of years, the offensive line sort of hierarchy in the division has pretty much been Dallas or Philadelphia. Pick, you know, flip a coin between the two, and then the Redskins and the Giants. You can kind of pick which one you think was the worst. And so now, as we fast forward here, you know, there's been some transition. You know, Travis Frederick is retired. Tyron Smith's gotten older. The Eagles have made a number of changes on their offensive line. Their guard, Brandon Brooks, now after a period of time, I think he's after the season. Someone can check that for me.
That's a year,
Jason
bro.
Peters,
Achilles,
I don't know if he came.
Achilles, bro, he's out for a year. You can just hook that.
Yeah, so you know, two of the big, you know, pillars of what has really made both of those teams really good, where the Giants have not been able to really pressure either of those teams at all, has been Dallas and Philadelphia. So where does that leave us would be the question. And I think right now we're all kind of in this sort of weird transition, trying to look at potential, but if we just take from what we currently know right now, we're still sort of stuck. And I say that because, as was mentioned previously, unfortunately, Nate Solder, if he's going to stay the left tackle, the question right now you would probably ask yourself is, okay, how long? How many games is this going to be before this transition eventually has to be made? Will Hernandez, I don't believe, improved much off of the season before. There was not what can anybody name me a game or two last season where you, after the game, said, boy, I tell you what, Will Hernandez really dominated this game. I couldn't find one. Someone can go ahead and take a look at the tapes, have at it. You know, the center position, we talked about that last week, still no center. Zeitler, as Litt mentioned, he was fine. Was he great? No. Was he terrible? No. And so that's the – and then we have the rookie this season. We'll see how that plays out. So really, if you take a look at it, across the board, there is basically a question mark on every position, because if I asked you what is the level of expectation for that particular position based on his previous performance, you're sort of left with sort of an unanswerable question. And so if I take it from that perspective, I would then say right now that the Giants are definitely not the best. Could they be the worst? That's debatable. But based on experience, based on past performance, based on future performance, I think third in the division might be right where I would put them.
Okay. Now, what about I'll put it like this, because Brian has said it earlier, and if you want to ask Brian directly, feel free. As far as Mark Colombo is probably an upgrade on the offensive line head coach. This is more about Will Hernandez. But if you have a question for Litt, myself, or even Brian, as far as the offensive line, feel free to ask if you have anything for the
Let me put it this way. You just mentioned about the offensive line coach. Can an offensive line coach make a veteran offensive lineman who's been established for, you know, a good number of years, can he make him a better player than what he is? Or is basically what we're looking at when we're talking, and we're specifically talking about Solder, is better coaching going to make him better? He's been in the league 10 years. Is it almost sort of baked into the cake that his performance going into the season is just going to be what it is, that there isn't anything technical that has to be done? It's just a matter of whether or not he's good or not, as opposed to, let's just say, Will Hernandez, where perhaps a fresher voice, someone that can perhaps look at certain aspects of his game and then tweak his game to specific, you know, strengths and weaknesses that he may have, and get more out of him. Because I'm almost leaning to the idea of, okay, we've got two veterans right now that are going to be playing on the offensive line, and you know, Zeitler, is there any real improvement we're going to get out of him, or is it sort of just a stable level of performance, and then we proceed from there?
All right, Brian, you want to fire away at that question from Carl, and then we'll get Litt to answer that question.
Well, sure. I mean, Hank Aaron had a batting coach. You can fall into bad habits, and good coaching can help veteran players work through bad habits. It's not just teaching the young player to get better, but to also show the older players maybe, you know, things they're doing technically wrong. So I do think, yes, a good coach can be an asset even with the more veteran players. So, yeah, I think that, you know, Colombo, first of all, I think Hal Hunter was in over his head, but I think that whole coaching staff, except for the couple they kept, like, you know, Ted Colbert, the wide receiver coaches, you know, terrific. But I think that whole coaching staff was in over their heads. But especially Hal Hunter was probably the worst of the worst. And, you know, Colombo is always coached well with offensive linemen. And I mentioned Ben Wilkerson, the assistant line coach, too. So, yes, I do think absolutely that a better coach can make a veteran player play better.
All right, Litt, what
about
you?
I'll go with that.
Okay, Litt, what
and
about
if I can,
you?
If I can follow up after you guys are finished. Yeah, after let's go on, I want to follow up on something he just said.
Okay, cool. Litt, sorry about that. Litt, you want to answer Carl's question?
No.
Carl,
I I've actually got a very unique spin on what Ryan was talking about. I will disagree to the point of, and I'll use this as the example, did Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan need their preceding coaches to become elite players? They were already good. They didn't need a Phil Jackson to be elite, to be that good. So with Nate Solder, is a change in coaching going to make him that much better? Is he going to find that inner killer elite 10 years into the league? I mean, especially knowing that this could be possibly his last year. He might influence the younger guys and the rookies, absolutely. But to make Nate Solder a Pro Bowler, I don't. You can't teach an old dog new tricks there. You just can't. He's set in his ways, and that's kind of how I just want to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, go ahead, fire away. Who's that?
That's me. That's me.
Okay.
The point with Solder is he's never been a Pro Bowler, so that's not going to happen. It's whether he can make him better. And I think that I can. And I think so. You know, a comparison to Kobe is, you know, it's not a good one. I'm not shooting you down. I don't mean it as a criticism. But Kobe was so good. You know, and Nate Solder is not. He's, you know, but never been much more than an adequate player. So, you could probably take a few pointers from a good coach, as opposed to, you know, basically the neglect that they got in the prior regime.
All right. Carl, go ahead, and then we'll go to the worm.
Yeah, and I guess this can also follow. I'll just ask sort of like this. You know, one thing that I've noticed over the last number of years has been the fact that the Giants have not really had – I'm trying to think of the best word I can use. I guess theme might be the word. When it comes to their offensive line, you know, there's some offensive lines, you know, that are, you see a lot of them sometimes in the league where you have big, powerful offensive lines that are designed and structured in such a way where basically they're going to basically blow you guys up, blow the other team off the ball. They're going to be a running team on offense. And then if it comes to passing the ball, they might be a little bit different. And then there's other teams that are designed with pass blocking in mind. And sometimes they may not be so good against the run. It seems like over the last number of years, the Giants have really been neither of these. Like, for you know, they can't run the ball proficiently because they don't have an offensive line that's really sort of designed for this. And the one player I keep thinking in my head is Eric Flowers. You know, I think of him, and I remember about a couple of years into the league, I kept thinking to myself, I said, boy, you know, perhaps if this guy was just simply designed as a run-blocking guy as opposed to someone who is going to be protecting the passer 40 or 45 times a game, perhaps that his strengths are not being utilized in the correct way. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying, as we look ahead even to this season, like, are we looking at ourselves as a dominant run-blocking team that is good at pass-blocking, or are we looking at ourselves as a dominant pass-blocking team that is simply good at running? You know, look at some of the other teams around the league, the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Ravens. I'm trying to think of two other teams off my head. The Saints, perhaps. You know, teams like that. You can kind of – each of those teams have sort of very specific offensive line traits that each group has. And I'm trying to figure out what in these previous years, what has been the Giants' theme as an offensive line and what they're actually trying to be this season.
Yeah, those are great points, man. I would sound off on my why that's the answer to that. But let's get to the worm first, and then I'll – speak on it, and then we'll slowly transition to the defensive line. We'll still implement the offensive line conversation. The worm is with us. The worm is going on, sir. We're talking offensive line with the Giants as far as how you look at it going into the 2020 season. If there is a season, well, that's a story for another day. But as far as our personnel, do you like it? Do you dislike it? Do you like what we have to bring to the table? We talked about comparing our offensive line within the division. If you want to compare it to the rest of the league, feel free. But the worm, you are up. Feel free to share your thoughts. Big Blue Roundtable, the Lions episode.
Hey, what's up? How's everybody doing?
Nothing much, man.
Do well.
Hanging. Looking with the offensive line over the last several years, they lacked that blue collar, that attitude, the feistiness, the hungriness. They've they've haven't had an identity in a while. You know, it's just lacked it. I'm okay with the depth that we have. It's something that we haven't had in a while. There's some quality depth to it. My question mark is really at the center position at the moment. I would think you'd have to pencil in Thomas at the left tackle because you take someone, you know, fourth over on the draft. That's your franchise, you know, left tackle. And as a guard, center's question mark, move over to Zeitler. And then you go to, I would think Soldier's going to transition over to the right side. A lot of the problems that they've had is correctable, it's fixable. It's a lot of technique. You know, Soldier's, he's getting beat off the ball a lot of times, and he's not getting his feet set and getting under him. His football's been very sloppy. You know, times you have Hernandez taking plays off. He's not getting his hands up and out quick enough. You know, the other guard spot, Zeitler, he's been solid. He's been okay. But they have to be able to gel as a unit. And they just got to work on their hand placement. They got to quick hands, and they got to fire off the ball. They can't get beat off the ball, and you can't have the pocket collapsing behind Jones as he's dropping back to pass. So, you know, I'm assuming Thompson could be in at that left tackle spot. I like his footwork. I like his hands. He's good, violent hands, quick off the ball. So he can set that edge on that left side, we'll be all right. You know, in moving Soldier over to the right tackle spot, he's getting, you know, up in age. He's been in the league for a while. You know, he is getting slower with age. But I think good coaching out of Colombo. I liked him when he was with Dallas. They've always had a strong line. He can coach them up. I think they'll be all right. You know, good coaching can get average players at their peak game and, you know, move you into a spot whether you're going to be more of a run-heavy or a pass-heavy offense. You know, Garrett is the offensive coordinator. He has the experience. You know, he knows how to work an offense. He knows how to maximize his players offensively. I'm really not too concerned outside of the center position with the Giants' offensive line.
All right. Now, Warren, if you have a question for Brian, Litt, Carl, myself, as far as anything in particular with the offensive line, where do you put the Giants' offensive line within our own division? Would you rank them first, second, third, fourth? But also, I don't know if you heard it, but you actually have the same points as Brian, or the same point as Brian as far as Thomas being at left, Soldier at right. But anything else you'd like to add? Or matter of fact, if you know, what would you put the Giants on, you know, if you had to rank it within the division where we stand?
Offensive line-wise, I'd probably put them over third in third. I like the Eagles' offensive line. Dallas, I'm still going to rank ahead of the Giants. They still have a good unit up front. I know they lost, you know, one of their key players over the offseason. Washington's offensive line is just a mess right now. So, I mean, comfortably, I could say the Giants got the third best line offensively in the division.
All right. Any questions for Brian, Litt, Carl, or myself?
No, not that I can think of at the moment.
All right, cool. I'll speak my piece, and then we'll transition a little bit into the defensive line. I'm still talking about the offensive line, but guys took a lot of my points. a lot of guys always take my points, man. It's all good. That's why we always have this free thinking dialogue on this platform. But going back to Litt, see, Litt, you are absolutely correct as far as the unproven line in the division. Warren, I'm not exactly sure if you knew or you didn't know, but like Carl mentioned and I mentioned at the top of the episode, the Eagles had a setback. They had a setback in Brooks as far as him rupturing his Achilles, a Pro Bowl right guard. He's out for the year. So I would say in theory, the Giants probably was third, but I would have to probably put them ahead of the Eagles with their question marks. There are question marks at left tackle. There are question marks at right guard. Now, the thing about this dialogue is left, you know, offensive lines don't play against offensive lines, so that doesn't necessarily matter in the grand scheme of things. But if you had to compare within our own division, where do we rank? I say second, and I'm with Lit as far as it's still a lot of question marks. I mean, just because we're second in the division, I mean, what, we're probably, what, 19th, 20th in the league, if I would have to take a guess, as far as quality offensive line. But I do like we have a little bit of a ceiling. I do like, just like what we discussed on the Jason Garrett episode, as far as Mark Colombo being the offensive line coach. I like that scenario. And to answer Carl's question about coaching up a veteran player or veteran lineman, however you want to look at it, I don't think it's necessarily about being coached up more so than what it's about getting the maximum player to buy into a scheme. So, for instance, I guess we can all agree when it comes to Solder, when he came over from the Patriots, because everybody look at the Patriots of a winning organization and they've had a lot of success, but that was a scheme. They did very well as far as not running these long, drawn-out run plays. If you watch a lot of New England tape, watch a lot of their how they run their offense. A lot of it is get the ball out of your out of the hands out of the quarterback, which was Brady quickly. Get it, whether it's running back, or if power power running between Andrews, the offensive line for the offensive lineman for the Patriots, or just quick you know throw the ball to Woodhead or James White, guys like that. They get the ball out quickly is what I'm saying. Solder is that type of offensive lineman where you have, if you're going to play that, have him in the office, you got to get the ball out quickly. And the Giants were not doing that. The whole scheme was not based on around his skill set. That's kind of how I looked at Solder. Zeitler is a finesse pass blocker. He's not a mauler. To answer Carl's question, as far as it seems like we've been spending a lot of years building this line, you're absolutely right, Carl, because that's exactly what happened. We never fully addressed it after Super Bowl 46. So even going back before that, when you had, you know, your David Dills, your Chris Knees, McKenzie was already on his way out the door, you know, those guys were never fully replaced, and they never had a full identity. You're right. We try to plug it with guys like Jeff Schwartz, with Jerry Reese. That did not work. Free agent signings like Jeff Schwartz when he came over from Kansas City did not work. The Aaron Flowers is an interesting comparison because a lot of fans reacted to the Andrew Thomas draft pick as almost Aaron Flowers-esque. So I could somewhat understand that. Now, I would say Andrew Thomas is more polished than Aaron Flowers was at left tackle at Miami. But if you remember the Aaron Flowers situation and how it was with Pat Flaherty, who was the offensive line coach at the time. See, Will Beatty had a bad accident. He had the weightlifting accident, which immediately threw Aaron Flowers from right tackle to left tackle, like literally overnight. He had like one good or two games that were pretty good, and then everything else was a disaster. So I think this all says this, you know, I say all this to say, and it goes back to Brian's point, it goes back to Warren's point. If you throw in Andrew Thomas immediately at left tackle, knowing that's what he's been at the University of Georgia, things should, on paper, be fine. Now, don't get me wrong. Just because we're the second-best offensive line in the division doesn't necessarily mean we're a good offensive line. I think we're still a work in progress. I do think they could be coached up. I also agree to the points of Brian and I think Brian said, Worm said it. They had quality, higher draft picks that they were able to not, you know, pretty much fuck it up. Meaning Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, when he came out, they got the best they could get out of them. So the question for me with Mark Colombo, will he get the most out of Will Hernandez? Because obviously it has not worked under Al Hunter. It has not. Like you said, Worm, as far as technique and as far as hand placement and as far as explosion, especially let's not forget about the penalties. Will Mark Colombo coach up Will Hernandez to what we think is probably going to be closer to what the Giants need to be as an identity? I actually believe that. I think he's going to get the best out of Will Hernandez that we have not gotten over the last season and his rookie season. I really firmly believe that because I think Mark Colombo, you know, you guys heard me say that on the other episode, that I think he's a deep, I think he's a pretty good offensive line coach. And even though he had more to work with, they were better skill set players, I also believe that he has not shown me as an offensive line coach that he's going to, F it up. We're going to transition to the defensive line. Same situation. We go to Brian. We can still, still implement your offensive line points as far as, where, if you want to throw in the tidbits you probably did or did not say. Brian, let's get to the defensive line. This is really almost an apples and oranges question because even though I loved it, I love the apples and orange situation, Brian, because not all defensive lines are created the same. Meaning, just because we have four, if we're looking at four teams, just because one may play a 3-4, another team may play a 4-3. So I'll pose the question, even with that said, because it's a loaded question, where does the Giants' defensive line stack within the division? Whether, we're running a 3-4, other defenses run a 4-3. Are we better at a 3-4 than other teams are at a 4-3? And then also having that, we kind of we touched on it lightly. How does the Giants' defensive line or compare against these offensive lines within the division? Meaning, how do we stack when we line up against the Eagles' offensive line? How do we stack up when we line up against the Redskins' offensive line? How do we stack up against the Cowboys? And now, I also got to say this when I speak. Now, I don't know how you guys are going to, you have your perspective. When I say defensive lineman, I'm excluding the rush, the edge linebacker. Now, I can understand why some people would, but if you want to do that, that's fine by me. I am excluding the edge. But, Brian, your thoughts on where does the Giants, our defensive line stack up versus the rest of the division, and how do we stack up against offensive lines in our division? And also, anything else you want to tidbit on the offensive line? There's a lot of things I'm throwing at you, Brian. And then we go to Lynn, Carl, then back to Warren.
Yeah, there is a lot to throw at Steve, but that's cool. That's cool. I approach this tonight the way that you did. That when you talk about defensive line, we're talking a 3-4. We're leaving the edge rushers slash outside linebackers out of the equation. So that's the way I'm going to approach it, although that as far as matching up against other teams' offensive lines, that's tough to do without keeping the edge personnel in mind. But all that said, obviously everybody's going to have a tough time with Dallas. I just think, even though they've taken some hits on their offensive line, they're not as good as they once were. They're still pretty damn good. But I think the Giants have really committed in the last few years to building their defensive line. And I'm interested with Leonard Williams and the Giants. Even though they had good personnel on the interior, the three of the 3-4 defense, they went with Leonard Williams. And I think the idea is with Leonard Williams, I think the defensive coordinators are starting to understand that edge rushers are kind of like the running backs of the defense. You can get good productive edge rushers without going very high in the draft. Every year, there's the next Lawrence Taylor gets drafted, and whoever, Washington got one this year, and but they don't really turn out to be. They might be good players, but they're not the dominant Lawrence Taylor's type. I think that defensive coordinators are looking more and more to three tech defensive tackles are more important to a really solid defense. And I think that's, they're looking at Leonard Williams to fulfill that role, kind of like Fletcher Cox does with the Eagles. Now, to be able to absolutely, penetrate and disrupt our running plays and give a strong pass rush up the middle. It remains to be seen whether, he'll develop into that kind of player and certainly, be able to become Fletcher Cox, that'd be great. But, I'm not sure that's going to happen. But to become, he was highly thought of, getting drafted out of USC, long, 5 years ago. And there's still a lot of talent there, and he showed it last year. He doesn't show stats, but he shows a lot of pressure. So
I'm intrigued with the retention of Leonard Williams, and I think I like it. I think it's a good player. They picked up Austin Johnson from the Titans in the offseason. It was a free agent signing, which, you know, gave them a nose tackle, a backup, Delvin Tomlinson. That's one hell of a 1-2 punch at the nose. Yeah, I both of those players are, you know, really, really good players. Johnson's never – yeah, they didn't go with the option with him in Tennessee because I think he just didn't get the pass rush there. You know, he only had a couple sacks, I think, in his whole career that he was there. But he's a very solid nose tackle, and as is Delvin Tomlinson, who's coming up on his walk year. But I think they're very good as far as that goes. And Dexter Lawrence, I loved that pick when he came in, and he's done nothing, as far as I'm concerned, to disappoint. Yeah, I think he's a future Pro Bowler player, and probably sooner than later. And even some of the role players like B.J. Hill is a good player. And you may see something out of McIntosh, too, you know, who played halfway decent a few years ago. And, you know, last year kind of disappeared, but everybody disappeared last year on the defense just because they were so poorly coached. So as far as stacking up goes, well, like, you know, we've mentioned the issues with Washington with their offensive line, and we also mentioned that, you know, the Eagles have some issues there too. I think that overall, at least when you go to three against the interior part of the other offensive lines, they stack up fairly well.
Okay, now what about, okay, if you had to rank them, the Giants are they first, second, third, fourth? And I know it's a loaded question because it's a scheme. You know, 4-3 is a team. Are we at a 3-4 with our defensive front? How do we stack up versus other defensive lines in the division? Then we'll go to Lit. Like, how would you rank them if you could rank them?
Again, without including the edge rusher
involved
there.
You can include it. You can include it if you want.
Well, Washington has added a lot of talent there, but I'm not too sure that Bergens is once the players that he once was either. You know, Dallas has been able, but see, Dallas is they've changed there. You know,
they've
defensive coaching, and so they have issues there too. I'd probably put them at, you know, probably around 2-3. The Eagles still firing away, you know, in the division as far as the interior, as far as defensive line goes. So, yeah, maybe three, possibly as high as two. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces within our division, and that's the reason why I asked that question, to see what everybody else is thinking on that. Let's get your thoughts on the defensive line. And like Brian said, I mean, if you want to include the edge, I'm not going to knock it. If you do or you don't, that's fine. But your thoughts on our defensive line, and I had the Leonard Williams questions all lined up, but Brian already got to it right away. So feel free to sign, you know, Dalvin Tomlinson, Leonard Williams, B.J. Hill, the whole rotation, man.
What I would like to do, Steve, if it's okay with you, is Brian kind of intimated this. I would like to ask Brian and yourself, Carl and Worm, let's just quick question about Leonard Williams. Are we better as a team with Leonard Williams or without Leonard Williams? I look at Leonard Williams as the assist to the assist guy. He's always there assisting the assist man. So with that said, are we a better team with him, or would we be a worse team without his presence? Not his stats, but his presence on the team.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll take the. I'm sorry.
All right,
Brian,
so Brian, you want? Okay, we go to Brian and then go to Carl and then Worm, and then we'll come back to you for additional thoughts on that. Go ahead, Brian.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I really like the Leonard Williams being on the team. I was really surprised when they traded for him. I figured that they probably would have a agreement, you know, in order, which turned out not to be the case. So he had to go to franchise tag type thing. And, you know, so they got to talk with the player. You know, but that, I think that, you know, they'll be a Giant for a while. But I think that he's
he adds something that they don't really have. He doesn't throw up the stats, but he gets a lot of pressure, and he's very disruptive in the running game. I think there's a much better line, even though they were a pretty good line at the time. But I think you add him into the rotation and with, you know, Dexter Lawrence, and you start throwing, you know, two and three tech defensive tackles against some of the offensive lines you're going to go against, and you're going to see a lot of success because of that pairing.
All right, let's go to Carl and then Worm, and then I'll say the answer to Liz's question, then go back to Liz. But Carl, what's your thoughts on Leonard Williams?
So, I'm trying to be respectful, okay? I'm trying my best here, okay? If you took him off the team right now, you would not notice the difference. I'll just put it as kindly as I can. I think that he could be replaced with a guy with 80% of his ability at 70% of his loss. Okay, I'll just put it in those terms.
I agree. That's the
whole issue with him. I'm not going to be able to get off that issue. Unfortunately, if he had 2 years in the league where I said, okay, he can develop off of these 2 years, I can work with that with potential. But he hasn't. He's had about 4 years. Was it 5 years in the league? 4 or 5 years in the league? I think we've seen what exactly he's going to be. It's not as if a guy's going to go from point A 5 years later and then all of a sudden zoom out and be something that he's not. I'm sorry. I'm just not going with that. But as far as the defensive line goes, we do seem to have a lot of defensive tackles, but unfortunately we don't seem to get to the quarterback very often. Exactly. And unfortunately, unless you can tell me how the team can control the game from that particular part of the ball on the defensive line, I would tell you that there's not going to be many wins coming, or that you're not going to be able to protect leads or get yourself in a position to come back and win games. We have seen this for a couple of years now. Unfortunately, when you don't have that, what we've noticed is a pattern the last couple of years with the Giants, because of the fact that they have a lot of, you know, beef on the defensive line, they'll be able to stop teams from running the ball on occasion. But when it's really time to, you know, hunker down and get off the field on third down, how many times do you see those guys getting to the quarterback? Not much, because there's not other guys to get to the quarterback. So it's all an encompassing thing. And also, there's not a guy on the interior of the defensive line who's a game wrecker. There just isn't. If someone can tell me who that person is, I haven't seen it. And so we don't have that particular player that can wreck the game inside. We don't have guys on the outside that can get to the quarterback. And when you converse, and when you look at that from the other teams in the division, you know, the one thing that's really kept Philadelphia as good as they've been over these last number of years has been the defense, particularly the defensive line. You know, from Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and all these guys who come in, and Vinnie Curry, who provide a not only just a quality contribution, but also even more than that. You know, that's the thing. We don't have those kind of guys on this particular roster. The Cowboys have made some changes, as we've seen over the offseason. DeMarcus Lawrence is still there. I think they got the kid Poe from the Chiefs. They signed McCoy. They're going to try to, you know, hopefully get something better that way. The year before that, they were much better than they were last year. And then the Redskins drafted Chase Young on the defensive line to go along with the kid Sweat that they had last year and one of the other players inside. So defensively, we have not had the ability to control the game. All we seem to be saying about the defense is that they are improving. But what does that actually mean? Like, improving from what to what? Like, are we going from you know, like a grade of a D to a grade of a C? Are we going from a grade of a C to a grade of a B? Like, it's certainly not an A. We definitely can conclude that. But like, when we say they're improving, like, how are we defining improvement? Or are we just sort of taking baby steps, and then are we just making incremental steps, or are we making what I would believe and hope for after going into year three would be a quantum leap in performance? If we are still on this sort of measure of, yeah, they're getting a little bit better here, and they're getting. Well, then what is that getting us? Because right now, going into this season, if I told you right now, can the Giants' defensive line be the reason the team wins games? I don't think if you ask 10 people, you can get 6 people to say yes. And that's the issue I have.
Okay. Let's get back to Lit. Lit, any additional thoughts before Carl? We'll give Carl some more additional thoughts in line, and then I'll sign on with that. Anything else you'd like to add, Lit, on the defensive line?
Hey, Steve, listen, I know we're pressed for time on the show. Go ahead and bypass me and go to Worm, if Worm would like to answer that question, and then you can chime on in, okay?
All right, sounds good. Let's go back to Carl. Carl, if you have any additional thoughts. If Worm, I think he's off now. But go ahead, Carl. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm good. Go ahead, Worm. Go ahead, brother.
All right, Worm's not with us right now. He dropped. But let me say this: as far as Leonard Williams, the franchise tag situation is little. It's like when a player gets that, it's usually that they don't really. I don't know the statistics on that per se, but from what I gather, they don't necessarily play out to, you know, being the top at their position at what they're getting paid. So it really, from the front office, this is a stubborn move. And, oh man, we talked about this before. Leonard Williams was somebody I was really high on when he was drafted and the Jets drafted him. And it, for whatever reason, it did not pan out with the JV team. It did not pan out. So when, you know, half a season or whenever he came, you know, I think it was the Philly game he made his debut last year. I don't remember exactly which game. But I just don't – like Carl said, like, I don't know or foresee a situation where, you know, with one, you know, with him being on, you know, franchise tag, like, is it anything else is going to be different? I could be wrong. I mean, I can be wrong, and a lot of us, you know, this is what we do. We talk about it. Do you think this is going to happen? Not, or whatever. But I don't see Leonard Williams as this big difference maker that was worth trading and losing draft equity for. I just don't see that out of Leonard Williams. To his point, as far as being the assist guy to the assist guy, that's kind of what it was. You know, it was just, you know. Now, here's the thing, though. I do think, as a unit, I don't think the defensive line was all that necessarily terrible as far as what they were asked to do. I thought they did a decent job as far as, you know, stuffing the run. And, you know, they really disrupted. They did a little bit of disrupting. The issue was on the back end. The guys, you know, couldn't cover, or, you know, sometimes when our edge did not get there, whether Marcus Golden got there, he did get there, but when he did his games, he disappeared. It is what it is. But without, you know, all the other guys, I mean, I do like our depth. I mean, I don't love it, but I do like it. I mean, I thought B.J. Hill did some nice things towards, you know, the end of the year, but that's kind of when we're already out of the thick of things. I thought when McIntosh had some opportunities, I thought he did some okay things. See, Dalvin Tomlinson is a really interesting one because we've seen these revolving doors with our defensive tackles, nose tackles, how you want to look at it, because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. We've seen this with Linval Joseph with a big year, and then he's moved on to greener pastures, like to the Vikings. I can see the same thing with Dalvin Tomlinson. If they have, you know, if they have a season, I can see him actually getting the best production out of his tenure and moving on. I don't think the Giants are going to re-sign him or, at, you know, whatever money they're, you know, he's probably seeking to get paid. I think that's a revolving door that the Giants have learned to accept. And to, like, to what Brian said as far as Dexter Lawrence, I think Dexter Lawrence was a very good, a safe pick out of Clemson. And I think he's going to actually do better with more snaps at that position. When I look at the depth within the division, you're right. Whoever said it, I think it was Carl. I think it's the Eagles. Now, I'm not saying they're the creme of the division, but I do think a new sheriff in town is coming, and that is the Redskins' defensive line situation. Those Alabama guys are Payne and Jonathan Allen. If you want to add, you know, I said if you want to add the edge, not add the edge, however you want to look at it with Chase Young out of Ohio State. They got some disruptors. Montez Sweat, Mississippi State, guys that we wanted on the Giants. They got a lot of youth and some proven players in the collegiate level where I think they could put it together for their particular team. Now, how do I look at the Giants? I think they're probably third in our own division. Now, how do I look? Like I think Brian said it best. I think we will struggle against the Dallas, but I think all the other offensive lines have question marks. I think we have, you know, the Eagles and the Redskins offensive line situation, as bad as the Giants are unproven on paper, those situations to me are just worse, especially when you add in the new injury this week with Brooke. I can't get past that. So how does this translate to win? I think when you play all these snaps in the game and a lot of other factors happen, I know turnovers and all that, but if you're looking at specifically the trenches, I think the Giants may be, we'll see, but I think we might, you know, if you compare our defensive line versus the Eagles offensive line, I think we there's some things we could win in that those little intermediate battles that we probably would not have won in the last several years. I really do believe that. Now, if you add in the edge situation, I definitely do get it. The Davlin Thomason situation with the contract. I don't want to forget this. I want to go back to Brian and we get some more thoughts on offensive line, defensive line combinations. Worm said it, and I forgot to say, but he said it, so I didn't want to repeat it. I do think, as far as the offensive line, I like our depth better than any team in the division. Not saying we have the best line starters, but I do like our situation with guys who can fill in that, you know, they get hurt. You know, I had that thought ready, but Worm kind of stole a little bit of my thunder when he said that. But, Brian, let's go back to you, and then if you have any questions for Lit Carl, as far as offensive line, defensive line, anything else you would like to add? We talked about, pretty much as much as we possibly can. Anything else you like to add, offensive line, defensive line, questions for Lit Carl? Anything you forgot to add, you want to add, feel free. Big Blue Huddle.
Well, just quickly back to Leonard Williams. He made a Pro Bowl in his second year. He had 7 sacks, and so the potential's there. It's not a Nate Solder situation where, you know, he was drafted first round, but he never got better than being an adequate player. But, you know, Leonard Williams did show, you know, at least early in his career, that he had that type of talent. And I think that's what the Giants are banking on that. But you brought a very interesting point as far as depth on the offensive line goes. And that's absolutely true. I mean, with Dallas has had to, you know, dip into their depth create a starter for at the center position. And Tyron Smith has, you know, become injury prone in recent years also. So you got a little bit of an issue there. I Washington's got all kinds of problems there. Jason Peters' situation, Andre Dillard's, he was a backup last year. Like I said, Hal Vitae is gone. And Isaac Ciamalo, who had moved along the line but became established in left guard, now with Brandon Brooks out, you know, they're going down and the backup players are not going to be starters. So it's a nice point making as far as, you know, Giants do have depth on the offensive line, and it may actually be a strength of the team. Now, again, there's a lot of questions. They got a lot of young players, but they've made a commitment. And I think that, you know, the offensive line is going to be good. I think that the interior defensive line is going to be good. We didn't touch on edge at all, but the breakdowns that they had in running games is when they got outside, either in between the defensive tackle and the edge rusher, or outside the edge rusher, or because of lousy angles taken by the interior linemen. So, but as far as the interior defensive line goes, I think that's a strength of the team. And I think that'll remain a strength of the team. So, I'll pass it on right there.
Cool, man. Definition of Lit. Anything else you'd like to add on the offensive line, defensive line? And then we'll go to Carl, and then we'll get some final thoughts from everybody on the Lions episode. Lit, anything else you'd like to add, sir?
So, you know, back to the defensive line. Are we going to be better off? I mean, this is kind of a stupid question, but are we going to be better off with this new coaching staff? I ask because B.J. McIntosh and R.J. and B.J. both had great first years, all right, under Shermer and Boettcher, okay? But they dropped off last year. I don't understand how they dropped off from year one to year two. Brian's alluded on all facets, and I agree. I knew Pat Shermer and James Boettcher were not going to make it past year two. Do you guys feel with this new coaching staff, everybody is going to get a reprieve, and excel at their natural position?
Okay. We'll get to that question. We'll get around. Carl, you want to answer that question? And anything else you'd like to add on offensive line, defensive line? And then we'll go around for final thoughts and get that question answered from Brian.
You know, that's a good question that Flip brings up in terms of the guys improving from year one and then not improving in year two. Because the question you would then ask is, they were coached well enough to perform the first time, but yet somehow the coaching was bad enough to where they declined the second time. Like, on its own, it doesn't even make any sense. So so you try to figure out, okay, what happened there? Did something just, you know, was there an internal lack of desire? Was there something else going on for, out off the field reasons why something took place? You know, those are some questions that we don't really have the answers to. But as far as we take a look and try to wrap it all up here, on offensive line and on the defensive line, I guess the question I would pose in general for the season, this doesn't really have to be answered by anybody, or if someone wants to take this, they can feel free to go ahead. It's something that I talked about earlier and I talked about months ago. How are we defining improvement? Are we talking about improvement in the incremental sense, or are we talking improvement where we are making a noticeable leap in improvement where we can see it visually and then say by the time that we go from week 1 to week 8 to week 17, assuming they're all played, that we say, okay, this team has made a tremendous jump from where we started. That way, going forward, we can say this particular unit is going to be an anchor and the reason why we win games and not lose them. What is the definition of improvement for this season?
All right, cool. That's a great question. We're going to throw that question at Brian. And, Brian, please, it's your final thoughts, and please, all the information for the Big Blue Huddle that you guys could be found as far as talking Giants football and all that. If you can answer Carl's question on your final thoughts, Litt's question as well, if you want to answer that, and also your final thoughts, and then we'll go to Litt, and then Carl, and we'll wrap up.
Well, as far as answering the question, what is improvement? We've got to snap the ball. We got a brand new coaching staff here. It'd be hard to not argue that the previous regime was a disaster. So, anything better than 4-12 or 5-11 over 2 years is an improvement. But I want to see players play better. And talking about the defense, Patrick Graham, yes, his defense didn't do that well statistically in the league, but he had nothing to work with. I watched Miami, and I saw a team that was well-coached. They played hard. They did what they could do. They just weren't they just didn't have any talent. They didn't come close to having the talent that the Giants had on the defensive side of the ball, even last year, let alone this year. So, what do you think it's going to be? I think that you go from lousy, which is 4-12 is lousy, into the mediocre range, and that's maybe 6-8 wins. And then you start to get in the upper tier when you get to 9 wins, 10 wins, and you start to compete for playoff spots. So to me, improvement would be a movement into the 6-8 win range, and I think that's quite possible.
All right. Now, Brian, your final thoughts and anything, information, GiantsFans.net you want to share before we go to Litt for his final thoughts and Carl for his final thoughts?
Well, sure. As far as reaching us, we're www.GiantsFans.net. We're on Twitter at Big Blue Huddle, and on Facebook we're New York Giants Fans Big Blue Huddle, or New York Giants Big Blue Huddle, excuse me. As far as final thoughts go, everybody's the other people it brought it up, and I agree. It's up in the air. You got to snap the ball, but I like what I've seen change personnel wise in these particular areas. I'm not so sure in some other areas of the team. But I'm hopefully optimistic to see the team, like I said, move up to the next level, to the 6-8 win, which more middle of the pack kind of season. And I'm fairly confident that can be accomplished.
But thank you very much, Brian, man. Big Blue Huddle, GiantsFans.net. That's a great message board. I mean, that's the only go-to board I go to now. I mean, the social media is out of control with the most ridiculous stuff. But the GiantsFans.net brings it back down to earth, man. Some realistic Giants football talk. Big Blue Huddle, man. Thank you very much, Brian, man. We'll be back in 2 weeks as well. Because we're going to let Lit pick one side of the field, and we're going to have Carl pick the other side of the field in 2 weeks. Lit, give us your final thoughts, Big Blue, Arizona frontliner extraordinaire, and also Lit. Give us, if you want to pick an offensive side or defensive side in 2 weeks, which area you would like to tackle. And your final thoughts.
So listen, Steve, real quick, final thoughts. So as far as improvement, I look at it as one of two ways. There's wins and losses improvement, then there's also the moral improvement. Are the guys, even though we're losing, are they buying into the system? Are they going to buy into Patrick Graham? Are they going to buy into Jason Garrett through tough times? So it's kind of a twofold thing. There's moral improvement and also improvement, wins versus losses. I would like to talk about edge rushers on our next program.
Okay, defense, you're going edge rushers. So I'm going to leave Carl to pick one side on the offense. So you're going edge rushers in 2 weeks. Sounds good. Big Blue, Arizona. And now, the birthday, man. I mean, anything fun, man? Did you share with the stakeholders, man? How did it go,
so
man?
Listen,
it's a national holiday.
He was in the nightclub with Mayweather.
No, I went out. Look, you know, it's pretty crazy. As you guys know, Arizona's getting a lot of coronavirus pops. So what I did is I went with a few of my friends. We went to the river out there on the California-Arizona border. That was it. Just chill, get away. You know, hung out on a boat. You know, normally I'll give you the weather report, what the women were wearing. Well, what the women were not wearing was pretty much clothes. But it was a nice time. There was some bunnies out there. It was a nice way to celebrate in peace.
Were they wearing masks?
Uh-oh. No. The bunnies were not wearing masks. No bunny masks. Steve knows what the bunnies are. We're talking about bunnies before.
Shout out to Liv, man. Yo, that's in the holiday, man. Every year, man. Shout out to Liv. Thank you very much. We got the edge rushers on the defense. Now, Carl, offense, where do you want to go with the offense next week? Not next week. 2 weeks. Pick an area. We'll tackle it. And then your final thoughts as well. Big Blue Chicago, BigBlueChicago.com.
You know, let me hit the interior of the offensive line, because the one thing that I noticed last season is that when Jones was being pressured, primarily it wasn't a lot of the time coming from the outside rush. It was coming inside where a lot of his fumbles and plays were being made that were becoming negative plays. And I think the one thing that we want to have, particularly for him, especially in this second season, is to make sure that we have the word fortress may be a little too strong, but we want to be able to have that part of the interior line not be any question at all, to the point where they are a strength of the team, where not only is Jones being protected, but in the times that we want to run the ball inside, we can go ahead and establish a proficiency in the middle of the line. Because the one thing that we've noticed is that as great as Saquon Barkley is, asking him to just bounce plays outside is not a long-term strategy to being a good running team. We want to be able to have something established inside, and then if needed and he can go outside, then plays can be made. But I think where it starts and for this team going into this season, between the left guard, the center, and the right guard, it starts right there. If they are going to be good, I will tell you the Giants will have a good shot of being good on offense this year. If you're telling me they're going to be what they were last season, then we're not looking at much, you know, production at all.
All right, now,
good show.
Office in 2 weeks. Which area you want to tackle for office? Lit got the edges. I guess that's edges. Linebackers. What are on the office you'd like to tackle in 2 weeks?
I'm trying to think of which ones we missed so far.
We haven't
this offseason. No, we've done a lot of them.
No. We haven't done any, actually. This is the first one because all the other episodes were evaluation from prior.
Oh, damn. Okay. You know, can we hit up the wide receivers?
Sure.
I think that needs to be addressed. I think there may be some overvaluing of some of the of that position going into the season.
All right, now you can check out Carl Big Blue Chicago, BigBlueChicago.com, Big Blue Chicago on Instagram as well. Definition of live, Brian, myself. The answer to the question, my final thoughts, and we'll wrap up. Win-wise, somebody said 6-8. I actually had a number of 7 is an improvement going, you know, after the end of the 2020 season. That's where I stood as far as improvement on as far as wins. But as far as improvement, as far as how they play, the consistency on every unit, hopefully surviving the injury bug, just the less penalties, completing plays. When we get to the other, especially other areas of the team, the defense, cornerbacks and linebackers, tackling and techniques. That's the stuff Joe Judge was really harping on in his presser. Those are little improvements of the improvements that I'm seeking for when we actually see it on the game of play. But, I think this was a great episode with Brian, Lit, Carl, and the Worm. In 2 weeks, we'll tackle edge rushers / linebackers and then also wide receivers. That will be right before the 4th. That will be the Thursday right before July 4th. So everybody, stay safe. This is a fun dialogue. This episode will definitely be in circulation the next several weeks with, Giant fans, Big Blue fans, so on and so forth. Shout-outs to Brian. Shout-outs to Lit. Shout-outs to Carl. Shout-outs to the Worm. Everybody stay safe. It's a national holiday with Lit's birthday. It don't get no better than that, man. It's an unofficial holiday. Sangre su, baby.
Happy dollar bills out, folks.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.